I believe that there was a decision made to cooperate as far as possible amongst the major powers to share this technology in a way that they wouldn't compete against one another, so that they could then be easily picked off by extraterrestrials who would make agreements with one side or the other. And I think it really is important to keep in mind that extraterrestrials have communicated, interacted with, and even reached agreements with different administrations. I think once you acknowledge that, then you can kind of start to get a grip on how this situation has developed, where you have extraterrestrial technologies being developed, being deployed, the major powers competing on one level, cooperating on other levels, and then you have space weapons that are being targeted against ETs. I think we need to look at the agreements that were reached and why these agreements haven't quite lived up to what the potential was that has led to the space weapons issue, I think, taking the direction that it has of it being used against extraterrestrials.
I know, Michael, when you were on with me almost a little more than a year ago, when we were talking about the Eisenhower administration, and you had believed that they had cut a deal with extraterrestrials, and Dwight Eisenhower being one of the first presidents, I guess, to cut those kinds of deals, wasn't he?
That's correct. I think that there were other presidents who were aware of the UFO phenomenon. Truman and Roosevelt, for example, were aware of crashed UFOs, and there's good evidence to suggest that it was 1941 that was the very first crash. That's from Dr. Robert Wood and Ryan Wood, who investigated the Cape Girardeau crash.
Missouri, so yeah. Yeah.
So that was 41, and Truman, of course, was responsible for setting up the Majestic Committee in 47. But from my own research, what I found was that the first evidence of actual meetings and agreements, that they occurred under the Eisenhower administration, and there was some link with the nuclear weapons development that was occurring. That's somehow, because the Eisenhower administration was forging ahead with developing the hydrogen bomb, thermonuclear weapons, that meetings with extraterrestrials occurred. And I believe what happened was agreements were reached with some extraterrestrial races and rather than others.
And did we have any negotiating power at all, Michael? Because it would seem to me that they had all the cards.
Well, that's the key question, George. I'm glad you raised that, because that is exactly the point that Philip Corso made in the day after Roswell. And he did refer to these agreements. And the way he described it was, he said, we had negotiated a kind of surrender with them because they knew what we feared most was disclosure. So there you have, in a very succinct expression, really, in a nutshell, the dilemma confronting the U.S. when it comes to dealing with extraterrestrials, because in reaching agreements with extraterrestrials, if you fear disclosure, if you fear that they're kind of simply going to show up over the major cities and say, hey, we're here, then they're going to be able to leverage a better agreement, a more suitable agreement. And people like Corso, what they suggest is that whatever agreements were reached, many people in the military were unhappy with them. They felt that they were unfair agreements. The extraterrestrials took advantage of the U.S. negotiators and basically drove a hard bargain. And people like Corso, and this is really important to understand where space weapons come in, they believe that space weapons would level the playing field or would strengthen the negotiating position of the U.S. And that's really, I think, very important, because this is all about strengthening the negotiating position of the U.S. in dealing with extraterrestrials. There's no threat.
I want to get back to the moment here when they started to negotiate with them, Michael, but what do you think happened for us to want to create the space weaponry in order to combat them? I mean, first of all, for a good defense for this country, because futuristically, I think you're going to need weapons in space. I mean, unfortunately, this is not a planet where you can just be good guys all the time. If somebody else is going to do it, it might as well be us. But what do you think occurred for us even to consider having space weapons for extraterrestrial intervention.
Well, CORSO, I think, really does give us a way of understanding the perspective of the military that were behind the development of space weapons. For CORSO, the extraterrestrials were performing a number of activities that he believed were invasive, that were violating the sovereignty of the U.S. in terms of airspace, that interaction with citizens was something that was very much a major concern for CORSO and other military people, and the abduction phenomenon. I think that the abduction phenomenon really frightened the military because, I mean, when you look at the abduction phenomenon, what you have is people being taken up in numbers far greater than anything that the U.S. might have envisaged as a part of whatever agreement it had reached with extraterrestrials.
And against their will, right?
That's the key here. It was against their will. And even though many people came back and said, well, it wasn't so bad, I went through some kind of medical procedure, but nevertheless it was against their will, and many people were traumatized by this. And so I think what happened was that through the monitoring of these abductions, CORSO and the military people were able to create a profile of what the ET motivations were, and I think that they concluded that they were not very benevolent, and so they really were very concerned about this. They felt that they couldn't stop it, that whatever agreements were reached, that these agreements were somehow being violated or were unfair, and so they began to consider space weapons or ways in which you could kind of force the ETs to stop doing things that concern the military.
So, did we actually, though, Michael, create weaponry that could combat hostile ETs when they had the kind of technology to get here?
Well, this is one of the things that we need to look at in terms of covert projects and overt, like black projects versus white projects. As you know, the black projects are things that we rarely hear about. It's only when a few whistleblowers come forward that we get to learn a little bit about these and what's going on.